fans, welcome to the Hockey News Prospect Podcast. I'm your host, Evan Fraser, here with prospect expert Ryan Kennedy. On today's show, we're going to have an interview with 2018 draft prospect Jack McBain, who's taken a bit of an interesting route to the draft. Our spotlight for the 2018 draft is going to be on Adam Boqvist, and our team spotlight, the New York Rangers, who, after many years having no prospects at all, have quite a cadre of good prospects now, so it should be an interesting chat. But let's start off, as always, with headlines. And Ryan, a player in the USHL who passed over a couple times in the draft, but he's making some noise, and you're interested in what he's doing down there.
Yeah, Jacob Schmitz-Feistrup. Fantastic hockey name there. Playing for the Fargo Force. This is his first year with that team. Last year, he split time between Dubuque, which was kind of a one-line team at the time, and the NAHL, where he played for Cooley Region. But he's leading the USHL in scoring right now, 25 points in 19 games. And as you said, he's a 1998 birthday, so he's already been passed over twice in the draft. But I had to ask a couple of scouts what the deal is, because I just, you know, he's 6'2", 200 pounds, clearly has some offensive upside. And essentially, you know, what they were saying was he'll probably get his chance this time, and that unlike in Major Junior, you tend to have more late bloomers in the USHL, maybe because it tends to be a bit of an older league. So if a player's getting better over time, he probably will continue to get better. Whereas, you know, in Major Junior, if you put up all your points as a 19-year-old, then it's kind of seen more as, well, okay, well, you're playing against younger, weaker competition physically. So I thought that was interesting. And now it's a matter of, well, how high does he go? And also, Schmitz-Feistrup is from Denmark, so he will be playing, I would assume, at the World Juniors. And that's a fantastic opportunity for him to open some more eyes scouting-wise. And I don't expect Denmark to be a surprise team again, as they have been in the past couple of years. But, I mean, with this kid and a couple of more guys, you never know. And he's smart and he's skilled, so, and he's got the size, so that helps.
So you asked the question, and I always want the answer. How high will this kid go?
Well, I think you're probably looking at somebody in the middle rounds right now. In this sort of draft, I think there's quite a good amount of talent. But when you're talking about guys that have been passed over before, I feel like sort of third round and on, unless it's like a Tanner Pearson situation, that tends to be when those guys start coming off the board.
The Sarnia Sting absolutely wrecking the OHL thanks to a number of high-end NHL prospects.
Yeah, I mean, they've been really good this year. They've had some fantastic win streaks. Jordan Kyrou from the St. Louis Blues organization, he's been the leader all the way. Actually, Kyrou, as we found out. Yeah, so Jordan Kyrou, representing his Greek roots there. He's been fantastic. I expect him to play a pretty big role for Canada at the World Juniors. Adam Ruzicka, the Calgary Flames pick, he's been very good. A lot more consistent this year. That was a bit of a knock on him last year, but he's got great size, and he can certainly put the puck in the net. And then Drake Rimshaw, an LA Kings pick, he's been very nice for them too. So they've got some nice offensive depth. And what's really fascinating to me is that Sarnia has graduated some of the most talked about prospects in the OHL in the past sort of 10-12 years. Steven Stamkos played there, Nail Yakupov played there, Alex Galchenyuk played there. Despite those names, they've never had any playoff success. I think they've won maybe one round in that time. With the lineup they have now, it seems a little more balanced, even though they don't have the, you know, the ceiling of a Steven Stamkos on that team. But, you know, playing out west, anything can really happen in the OHL. That's where all the good teams tend to be clustered around, your Londons, your Kitcheners, your Eries. So it's going to be tough, but I'm very intrigued by what the Sting can do this year.
Montreal Canadiens blue line prospect Josh Brooks currently plying his trade with Moose Jaw, coming back from injury. How does that affect the Warriors?
Well, Moose Jaw, already one of the best teams in the WHL, leading the Eastern Conference right now, basically tied with Portland as the best team in the league. But with Brook coming back, they get another big weapon on the back end. The Warriors have a pretty nice defense core, and you know, Brook was sort of the marquee guy coming into the season, and now that he's returned, I want to see what happens in terms of this depth chart. You know, we've talked about Jet Wu already on the podcast. He's a 2018 draft prospect. He's going to be a first rounder. He was seen coming into the year as more defense than offense, but with Brooks sidelined with that shoulder injury, Wu really stepped up offensively. So now my question is, you know, Wu being basically a point per game player at this point, does his production come down because Brook gets more offensive opportunities, or do they just kind of like raise each other up? Dmitry Zaitsev, another defenseman, he's a Washington Capitals pick. He's been putting up pretty decent numbers on the blue line too, so how does that affect him? You know, it's a bit of a domino thing there. But, I mean, it's all good for Moose Jaw. Obviously, they're getting a key player back, and they're already hot, so pretty nice. And they have a lot of good veteran forwards as well.
Interview this week is with Jack McBain of the Toronto Junior Canadiens. Before we get into that discussion, tell us why you were interested in talking to Jack.
Well, you know, this draft class isn't really big on centers, but McBain is one of the more talented guys out there. So I believe he's going to be a first rounder, probably somewhere in the middle of the first round. He's got size, he's got NHL pedigree. His dad was Andrew McBain. Well, his dad is Andrew McBain. And he's headed to Boston College. So he's now in his second year with the Toronto Junior Canadiens of the OJHL. And, you know, that's a circuit that hasn't graduated very many first rounders lately. Brendan Smith was the last one. He played for St. Mike's. And then Andrew Cogliano before that. So it's been basically a decade and a year since Smith was in the first round. McBain is probably going to break that this year. And so I wanted to basically say, you know, like, what was it about Toronto that, you know, kept you there another year? Because he could have gone to the USHL this year. And we talked about that and also some pretty good international experience that he's gotten so far.
I'm here with Jack McBain of the Toronto Junior Canadiens. And Jack, first off, you've had some good international experience already this year with the Ivan Hlinka tournament in Canada winning a gold medal. What was it like to be amongst a bunch of your draft peers there and playing for your country?
Hlinka was kind of a really unbelievable experience. I mean, it was such a great group of guys, and obviously we had a lot of success. So, I mean, that was awesome, just kind of seeing where you match up against the top guys all over the world. So, yeah, that tournament was a lot of fun.
And being over in Europe, do you get any time at all to sightsee and bond with the guys and sort of see what's out there?
We were on a pretty busy schedule. I mean, we get a lot of bonding time. I mean, we're always with the guys, always with the team. So, I mean, that was awesome because you just get to meet new people from all over. But, I mean, I think we had a couple of days where we got to go out for dinner and just kind of see, go shop or whatever. But, I mean, it was more all focused on the tournament.
Now, this is your NHL draft year, and you had a couple of options as to where you could play. You stuck in the OJHL with Toronto. What went into that decision?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately it was a family decision, and I was kind of weighing my options of whether I wanted to leave home for the last year or not. And I mean, it's a good spot here, and I really enjoyed it last year. And I mean, we like the coaches, and it's a great spot. So, I mean, we decided to come back, and yeah, so we like it.
Cool. And you have committed to Boston College. I know that there was some, you know, a lot of schools that had interest, and you were telling me you've had sort of an informal visit there. What about Boston College intrigued you?
Just kind of everything about it. I mean, when myself and my family went down, we just loved everything about it. And they have such a rich history, yeah, both academic and hockey-wise. I mean, they've had a lot of success developing players there, and it goes right down from the coach Jerry York to all the players. So I'm really looking forward to it, and it should be a good experience.
Now, Jerry York, obviously one of the legends in NCAA hockey. How excited are you to just sort of, you know, delve into the knowledge that he can bring to you as a young hockey player?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's had a lot of success at that level, and he's one of the best coaches in the world. So I mean, just I'm gonna try to go there and just soak in everything he's got to say, and just kind of try to develop my game so I can get to the next level.
Now we got the World Junior A Challenge coming up. You played for Canada East last year. I'm assuming that you're gonna make the team this year. Assuming that does come true, what are your expectations for yourself?
I mean, like coming off last year was tough with the silver medal, but I mean, we're definitely looking to improve that this year. And obviously losing to the U.S. last year, so we'll be playing with a chip on our shoulder this year. But I mean, just looking for team success there, and hopefully we can have a good tournament and play well.
Right on. Now I noticed, you know, you seem to have a bit of a target on your back out there, simply because you're a pretty known quantity. You had a really good year with Toronto last year, and you're putting up a lot of points this year. How do you deal with, you know, knowing that you're going to be facing top lines and top checkers every night?
I mean, you just kind of try to enjoy it and enjoy the challenge. And I mean, you know what's going to happen, but you just go with it and try to do what you can. And, yeah.
And like I said, you put up a lot of points, but you know, with your reach and with your smarts, I saw you did a lot of penalty killing as well. Do you like taking on those different challenges and playing in all situations?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I kind of try to pride myself on being a 200-foot player that can play all over the ice and can be dependable in all situations. So, I mean, whether I'm killing a power penalty or on the power play, I love it all. So, yeah.
And what would you like to improve on as this season goes on?
I mean, a big thing for me is just being a bigger guy. I'd always wanted to get better, getting off to a faster start. You know, just having those first three quick strides has been something I've been working a lot in the summer. And I mean, that's definitely something I'm trying to improve on, just because the next level is bigger, faster guys. So, yeah.
First round. Right on. And your dad, Andrew McBain, played in the NHL. What sort of influence has he been on you?
Yeah, he's been amazing. I mean, he's been always with me over the course of my life so far. And I mean, just having him there, and it's just been unbelievable. I mean, he's been through it all. He knows what it takes to get to the next level. He's been there, so I just try to listen to what he's got to say to me. And yeah,
sounds great. Well, thanks so much for doing this, Jack.
All right, thank you very much.
Our 2018 Drafts Prospect Spotlight, that's a mouthful, this week is on Adam Boqvist, who's currently playing in Sweden. Ryan, tell us why he's one to watch.
Well, as I've said a couple of times on the podcast, this is a really good year for puck-moving defensemen, and Boqvist is one of the best. If Rasmus Dahlin wasn't in this draft class, Boqvist would probably be the first defenseman off the board, or at least in consideration. Mostly he's been playing for Brynäs' under-20 team. He's seen, you know, a little bit of action. Last time I checked, 4 games in the SHL with Brynäs, but mostly he's been with the juniors. 10 goals and 17 points in 16 games, which is obviously very good for a blue liner. He's not huge. He's 5'11", 170 pounds, but as we've seen in the past couple of years, that doesn't really matter. What he does have is very good puck skills. He's a dynamic player. What scouts really like is that he doesn't make a lot of mistakes defensively either. So you get this very nice offensive package, but you're not losing anything in your own end at the same time. Very conscientious player, and obviously he can put numbers on the board for you as well.
He's got international experience, but will we see him at the World Juniors?
I don't think we're going to see him this year, because Sweden is very good defensively right now. You look at, obviously, Rasmus Dahlin, Erik Brännström, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, or the Vegas Golden Knights prospect. You know, if Timothy Liljegren goes, which he probably will, those are your puck movers right there. And so you be getting a repetition of skill sets. And I find that with Sweden, they tend to like to have a mix of puck movers and guys that are more defensive. Boqvist was one of the best players at the Ivan Hlinka tournament, which, for listeners who don't know, that's a summer tournament that's under 18, and it's sort of a nice table setter for the draft class every year. They're actually going to be having it in Edmonton every other year now. Traditionally, it's been in the Czech Republic and Slovakia. So Boqvist was very good for Sweden there. Was actually playing with Rasmus Sandin, the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds defenseman. They were a great pairing there. So I don't think we'll see Boqvist at the World Juniors, but when the under-18s come around in the spring, I think he'll be crucial for Sweden. That's where he's going to get his biggest spotlight, and based on what he's already done internationally, I would suspect he's going to have a lot of success there.
Based on the fact that you like him in as the second-best defenseman or co-second-best defenseman in the draft, where do you see him falling, and who is his competition?
Well, I would say that you're looking at him being anywhere from third overall to fifth or sixth overall. I think you still go Dahlin and Andrei Svechnikov 1-2, Svechnikov being a winger, and then it becomes a bit of a choice. You know, I think his competition right now in terms of other defensemen is probably Quinn Hughes from the University of Michigan. That's probably the next guy. Maybe Ty Smith from Spokane, but I would give Boqvist the slight edge on both of them right now. Maybe, I mean, if a team really falls in love with Quinn Hughes, I could see that. And just in terms of overall numbers, you know, you got Philip Zadina, who's now leading the Quebec League in scoring. He's on the wing. You know, Brady Tkachuk, playing for Boston University, obviously has great pedigree and has shown that he can be a strong presence in front of the net and do a lot of really good things out there. So those are a couple of the players that I think will be in competition for top five slots. But, I mean, Boqvist, he feels like a really good prospect at this point. And, like, I'll say safe in the sense that because he can play defense and because he can move the puck, you kind of got everything you need. And I feel like because of that, you can be pretty happy getting him anywhere in that 3-6 range. And, like, I don't think a team would be disappointed.
Our team spotlight this week is the New York Rangers, and we tend to just go through the leagues looking at the prospects playing in the various circuits, and normally we end up in Europe, but let's start there this week, because the Rangers, two of the three most intriguing prospects in their system are over there right now.
Yeah, starting off with Elias Anderson, who was one of their two first-round picks in 2017. Playing back in Sweden, almost made New York out of camp. Didn't quite happen, but, I mean, he put up a really good show. He's a fast, competitive guy, two-way player, and he's playing for Frölunda back home, which has really been a factory for young prospects in the past, I would say, 5 years or so. And so he's getting good ice time, getting his points, and I would suspect that he will play a major role for Sweden at the World Juniors. In terms of high-end prospects, you got Elias Anderson, then of course Elias Pettersson with Vancouver. Those are going to be your guys up front. Wouldn't really be surprised if Elias Anderson's the captain. He's got those leadership qualities, and some people were wondering when New York took him so high if it was the right call. But I mean, from everything I've seen of this kid live, he's an NHLer, and it's not going to take long for him to get there. Comes from a family of hockey players. Both his dad and his uncle played in the NHL. So I think he's going to be a good one, and I think he's going to be a good one pretty soon. The other guy to really pay attention to is Igor Shesterkin, playing for SKA St. Petersburg in the KHL. This kid's been putting up numbers for years now. He's a goaltender. Right now he's rocking a .941 save percentage and 1.57 goals against average. And playing for a team that's just an absolute juggernaut, you know, he's already won a title there. And the only drawback, and this goes for a lot of Russian players these days, is he does have a contract, and it runs until April 30th, 2019. So, you know, if the Rangers wanted to get him into Hartford, that's probably not going to happen in the interim. But having said that, you know, goalies always take a little bit longer to become fully realized NHLers. So if you got to wait for Shesterkin until then, I think he's worth the wait. One more player quickly in Europe to keep an eye on is Patrick Virta, playing in Finland with TPS. Bit of a late bloomer. He's actually a 1996 birthday, even though he was just drafted. So he's already 21. But 17 points in 24 games. He's not a big guy, but he's a pretty good playmaker. And he's one of TPS's top scorers. He's kind of in the top five. So it'll be interesting to see if the Rangers can get anything out of him long term.
In the AHL, Philip Chytil, made the Rangers out of camp. Didn't stick around, not surprisingly, but having a good showing with Hartford.
He really is, and again, for a teenager to make an NHL roster is very impressive, and they send him down to Hartford where he can play a bigger role and he can, you know, learn the North American game, because this is a kid that came over from the Czech Republic. He doesn't have experience over here, so the rinks are different, the culture's different, but there's a lot of nice aspects to his game. 12 points in 13 contests so far for the Wolfpack, and that's good because right now Hartford's not a good team in terms of wins and losses. They're last in their division. A lot of the young players are struggling with points. Another name to keep in mind, Vinny Letteri, he's putting up decent numbers, but with Philip Kietl, I feel like he's kind of the real deal here. And again, he's going to be key for the Czech Republic at the World Juniors, so a lot of good experience he'll get there. And I like where he's at, and I wouldn't be surprised if he played for New York next year.
The Rangers have been smart in seeing that Henrik Lundqvist's career is... let's say on the back nine, and he won't be there forever. They've collected a number of goalie prospects, and a couple of them are playing in the NCAA.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. For a couple of years now, because the Rangers are usually going for it, they've traded away some picks and even traded away some prospects, but they were always really good at finding netminders. And right now, Adam Huska is one of my faves. I thought he played very well for Slovakia at the World Juniors, even though they were outgunned on most nights. But he plays for UConn, aka Connecticut, who haven't been, you know, a contender in Hockey East, but he's leading conference in starts. He's a workhorse. He's got good size, and I think he'll be an interesting pro once he gets there. As a sort of funny sidebar, right now the Wolfpack in the AHL, they're not getting very good goaltending, but it's almost like they're just waiting for some of the kids to go pro because they have so many good goaltending prospects. They just happen to be in other leagues. So you got Huska, and then Tyler Wall is somebody to keep an eye on because he had a very nice freshman campaign with UMass Lowell, but he's been struggling this year. Actually lost the starting job to Christoph Hernberg in Lowell, and so Wall's not playing a ton right now. Hopefully he can sort of rally his confidence. He's got good size, and like I said, his freshman year is really good, so going through a bit of a struggle right now, but I mean, he's got time. Again, he's a netminder. You don't expect them to come out when they're like 20 years old, so you know, let's see what he can do the 2 years after this, and then hopefully he turns around soon. One more college player to note on, Morgan Barron, who was a late-round pick at a St. Andrews College, which is just north of Toronto. He's been huge for Cornell so far. Really surprising just because he was seen as kind of a raw pick. He's a big center, 9 points in 10 games, and the Big Red is off to an awesome start in the ACAC. Barron's been a big part of that, so it's kind of fun to see when players surprise you like that. And you know, all points to Barron. He's really gotten off to a fantastic freshman start there. A
couple of prospects playing major junior and playing starring roles on OHL teams.
Yeah, you know, we talked about the Sarnia Sting earlier, and one team that's kind of threatening them right now is the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. They're actually 10-0 in their past 10 games, and they're right there with Sarnia in that division. I think they might be a point behind right now. The Greyhounds have a lot of nice depth, and they have a veteran lineup, and one of the drivers is Timmy Gettinger. He's about 6'5". Really nice offensive skill set, and he's been pretty hot lately, getting a couple of multi-point games. I think he's probably third or fourth in team scoring right now, but like I said, with that depth, they can kind of kill you in different ways in the Sioux, and Gettinger has been very good. Played for Team USA in the summer at the World Junior Summer Showcase. I think he has a pretty good chance of making that roster. There is a lot of competition up front for the Americans, but Gettinger will definitely be in the mix. And then also in the OHL, Sean Day, who we've been talking about for years because he got the exceptional status to go into the OHL a year early, he's actually still there. And what's interesting about that is because of the exceptional status, he actually could have gone pro this year because he's already played 4 seasons. But the Rangers did assign him back to the Windsor Spitfires, and he's been playing, you know, pretty well, putting up some decent numbers. it's going to be a good year for him because, you know, he needs to take a lot of responsibility on that back end. Windsor traded Logan Stanley over the summer. They lost a couple of other guys to the pro ranks already, including Mikhail Sergachev, who's tearing it up in the NHL right now for Tampa. So for Sean Day, even though Windsor's not, I wouldn't consider them like one of the top tier contenders this year. Obviously, when you've got teams like the Sioux and Sarnia tearing stuff up. But, you know, Logan Brown's back there, and, you know, when Gabe Vilardi comes back from his back problems, he's going to be a good one as well. So the Spitfires are going to be competitive right to the end. And, you know, Sean Day, he's got such a nice physical package. The skating, the size, you know, the offensive upside. It's really about the details of the game and the defensive play. And if he can use his big role this year to continue to improve, I think that's a really good step for him. And even though it seems like it's taking a long time for him to develop, you know, the Rangers didn't use a first rounder on him. You know, this is a guy that went in the middle of the draft. I think they can kind of slow play him, and that's just fine. If you can get an NHL defenseman out of Sean Day, even if it takes another 2-3 years, then, you know, all points to the Rangers for keeping an eye on him and letting him develop at his own pace.
That's our look around the world of prospects for this week. If that hasn't filled your fix, go ahead out on newsstands and pick up our World Junior Championship preview, which should be out there now. But we'll be back with another edition of the podcast next week. For Ryan Kennedy, I'm Edward Fraser. Thanks for listening.